It's amazing how much I think kids can absorb from their parents without even realizing it. You know, the example that they said, I know even with my parents, you know, one of the things that I don't ever recall my parents using credit cards. In fact, it was kind of convincing them to get one when it was necessary for buying. So it really set a principle about purchasing that you spent what you could afford to buy. And the temptation of going to credit wasn't there because that's not the way it functioned, but it ingrained and instilled a good principle for me.
Well, I remember the very first credit card that my dad ever had and even told me about was a Diners Club card. That tells you how long ago it's been. But that was a card that he very seldom, if ever, used unless they had to do something for business. And he kept it like that. He did his best to not have to rely on credit unless it was something big like a car or like a house.
Right, exactly. And that was a lot of the things that, you know, even growing up, you know, resonated with me. And I actually went the wrong way for a little bit and realized how bad it made me feel when I started using credit cards, not realizing it. And then, you know, when I looked at back what my parents did and how they survived on the income that they did, it made me realize that I really need to consider a different approach than utilizing credit.
One of the other areas I know that's always talked about is taking advantage of the technology that we have available to us here. How important is that in trying to teach your youngsters or anybody teaching anybody else for that matter how to properly use money?
Well, I think it's critical because if you don't automate to a degree what you're doing for retirement or automate to a degree what you're trying to do in strategies when it comes to paying off debt, it's just very cumbersome, and generally you don't do it. I mean, willpower is simple. I know how most people are. It's the same way I am. If I have money in my pocket, I generally spend it. But if I use automated programs like 401ks or direct savings automatically from my paycheck, what you find is it's a very effective process, and accounts grow.
One of the other things I know that we've talked about here before in dealing with credit is paying off that credit and to do it as wisely as you possibly can. And I know that this comes back down to the old adage that, you know, that you only need to make the minimum payment. Well, that's not really a very good idea, is it?
Right. It's probably the worst leveraging possible, especially in the environment we're in right now. I think a lot of folks are concerned because they've used credit lines that are very low rates right now. Credit cards that are low relative to what I believe they'll be in the next few years here as interest rates start to rise. So that minimum is going to become more expensive, and the minimum is really just paying the financing. And when you're paying at those higher rates, it's a very difficult hole to dig out of.
In our past conversations, Greg Hammer, we have talked to you about the importance of saving for retirement, and that just goes not only from our own experiences, but also the ones we can teach our youngsters.
Yeah, I think the easiest principle to me, sooner the better. Time is always your best advocate, your best partner, the most you'll ever gain from a retirement plan. And I tell folks before you sit and have a conversation with me as an advisor, if you have a program through work like a 401k, especially if they're matching dollars, it goes back to that automated thing we were just chatting about, take advantage of those matching dollars. There's nothing that's going to compare to it. And when it's coming directly from the source before you get the funds, you're going to stay consistent in your plan.
One of the things that is brought up, and maybe it's maybe trying to get a definition to a term here that I have seen lately, is lifestyle creep. What is that, and how important is it to be sure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, lifestyle creep is associated with either advances in jobs or incomes. A lot of folks are paid on bonus. Whereas the income goes up, people generally tend to spend more of that money, and that goes back to the discipline and automation of saving. Because a lot of people, especially to take a bonus, for example, you get a bonus, they feel like, hey, this is something that is extra for me. I've earned extra, and it is. But they'll use that geared towards something that's completely fun as opposed to saying, hey, let's take part of it, pay down some debt, or let's take part of it and put it away. It becomes more of an asset that they tend to exhaust. And as your income goes up, generally people try to spend more. I mean, think about houses for a second, Chris. I mean, most people go in and when they go to buy a house, it's always about, you know, what my income will allow me to buy and not necessarily about what I can afford to buy, you know, or afford to pay for.
Well, it's also important, too, to take advantage of the opportunity that if you can put as much down as a down payment, of a down payment down, that it's worth going ahead and spending that extra money for that.
Oh, absolutely. And even to the point of when you talk about, you know, you get into the fees and interest rates and simple things you can approach. I mean, if you look at a 15 or 20-year financing on a home as opposed to a 30, you can get a better finance rate. Things are going to be paid off sooner. And, you know, so many people say it's the convenience of your credit cards for the points. But essentially, you're getting those points, but you are paying more. There's fees associated with that if you're not paying those credit cards off every month. You know, so you just got to be cognitive of that and don't pay for something that you don't have to. A lot of fees are voluntary, like cash versus credit type situations, and even to the point where, you know, you'll use a different ATM machine that could allow you to get it free at your bank versus not planning and using it, you know, so at a different location because it was more convenient.
We talked about dealing with money. Let's talk about something that for many people requires having to spend a little money, but it's supposed to have some benefit with hope in the future, and that's having insurance and having enough insurance. It's very important not to be underinsured.
Absolutely. I think it's people don't realize how important of a planning tool it is, and it comes in a lot of different forms. I mean, it's especially disability. I mean, people talk about, you know, I'm good. You know, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm not going to pay for life insurance, as an example, which still is, you know, is critical in my eyes. But a lot of people don't realize losing their earning power is a very high potential. Even losing it for a short amount of time, 6 months, a year, you know, something that lays you up, that particular gap could set people back financially and create a debt situation that's very difficult to climb out of. But a lot of times when you work hard to, you know, build these assets, you need to protect them. You know, having good health insurance, having possible things that would cover long-term care stays so that the surviving spouse would still have those assets. But even the insurance, I mean, being able to, insurance is a lot of times a need until you get to where, you know, you are for what most people would consider self-insured.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg Hammer, we've talked about a lot of great things here that are certainly good advice, and I suppose if we followed at least a few of them, then we might be able to say that we've probably set a good legacy for ourselves off to our families, would you think?
Absolutely, and I think just the final point that I would emphasize, I had great examples of my parents, and if you have children, you know, just consider the impact that you're making on them in terms of the actions that you take and the things that you do.